the fifth petition found on page 7 as it's printed there. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? Whether we realize it or not, we live each day in the path of Peter or Judas. The fifth petition enables us to follow the footsteps of Peter rather than Judas, but it must be prayed daily. Last week I said that since Jesus instructs us to pray daily for bread, that meant the rest of the petitions connected to it were to be prayed daily. This is true. But even truer, for forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need to pray this petition daily because we sin daily. That's how Luke records this petition, forgive us our sins. Matthew has, forgive us our debts. And we pray, forgive us our trespasses. Trespasses is Tyndale's 1526 translation that is passed into many liturgies through the 1549 Anglican Book of Common Prayer. So when you pray this petition, have your sins, have your debts, have your trespasses all in mind. See that your problem is that you have missed the mark God requires you to hit. You owe God obedience that you haven't paid. And you have crossed fences onto land belonging to the Holy God. But don't just see this petition as dealing with your actual sins, debts, and trespasses. No, it's also a confession of your sinfulness. We aren't sinners, debtors, and trespassers only when we actually do these things. No, we are born sinners, born debtors, born trespassers. As coyotes are born coyotes, snakes, snakes, spiders, spiders, we're born guilty, in debt, and intruders. And so our object of God's wrath by nature, as Ephesians 2:3 says. Every move we make, every breath we take, a cloud of sinfulness boils up around us like pig pen in Charlie Brown. Forgive us is to be a daily prayer. Not only because of the sin and sinfulness we know, but because of what we don't know. You have sins you are not aware of. David, who spends so many psalms lamenting his sins, prays in Psalm 19 to be cleansed from ones hidden to him. I'm not talking about the sins, debts, or trespasses you know but hide from someone else. I'm talking about ones you're not even remotely aware of even having. If ever a petition could drive you to daily prayer, this one should. You sin daily. You need daily confession to deal with it. Unconfessed sins don't go away. They fester. They infect. And they lead to a systemic infection of not just your soul, but your body. When David kept silent, maybe for as long as a year, about fornicating with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah, he says that his bones wasted away. The only harmful repression the Bible knows of is unconfessed sins. Yet I never read any secular warnings about that. Have you? No. Repressed desires, repressed needs, repressed anger. You're all warned about that. The Bible, however, encourages the repressing of desires, needs, and anger. But not of sins that guilt the conscience and wither the body. Pray daily, forgive us our trespasses, because you sin daily and because God has provided a remedy for your sins daily. The Lord expects that even as you will need your bread daily, so you will need His forgiveness daily. The remedy for your guilt is the innocent Jesus bearing it. Think of it. Would you ever say as Jesus did, "If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong"? There isn't a word that comes out of my mouth that isn't stained by sin somehow. Jesus can stand before His enemies and not be afraid that they could find Him guilty of one sin, owing one debt, having stepped over one line. Jesus is the innocent lamb provided by the Father to carry your sins away from you. He's the scapegoat. Like we sing, "My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin." But your daily sins need more than just carrying away. They need to be paid for. So God the Father provided two goats in one on His great day of atonement. Jesus is both the scapegoat that carries sins away and the sacrificial goat that dies for all sins. A hymn challenges those who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, to look at the suffering Jesus. I dare you to do that. Not one of you would tolerate me slapping you in the face, let alone spitting on you, mocking you, or beating you. But it's worse than this. While holy Jesus suffers such outrages, such undeserved hatred and pain, His most loyal friend is denying Him repeatedly. Jesus didn't deserve any of this, but you do. Are not your sins that outrageous? Don't they deserve the hatred of the holy God? Don't they deserve the pains of hell itself? And have you really been such a good friend to others that you don't deserve to be denied by them? If this preaching of the law isn't getting to you, I'll tell you what has happened. "Forgive us our sins" has not been a daily petition of yours, and or you think your sin and guilt is no greater than the sins you're able to see. You're burying your sins. You can do that for a while. You can maybe do it for your whole life. But you can't do it forever. The Lord Jesus doesn't want you to do it even for one day. He daily invites you to pray with great boldness and confidence, "Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins." The dozen you can think of, the hundreds you don't know, and that one or two you'd rather not think of at all. Confess your sins daily because you sin daily and God has provided a remedy for your sins daily. He provided an innocent man to bear your guilt away and a man who is God, whose suffering and dying is more than enough to pay your debts, forgive your sins, remove your trespasses. In the very midst of suffering for sin and sinners, Jesus forgives the friend who betrayed Him. Peter repeatedly denied knowing Jesus, even as you do, with your sins of thought, word, and deed. The crowing of a rooster brought the heinousness, the hideousness, the awful ugliness of his sin home. And just then, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Jesus turned His beaten, bloody, spit-stained face to His friend and in the Greek gave Peter a warm, winning, forgiving look. And rather than go out and kill himself for his terrible sin, Peter went out and cried. 19th century author George MacDonald writes of a traveler in fairyland who sleeps and dreams, quote, "of pardons implored and granted with such bursting floods of love that I was almost glad I had sinned." Could there be forgiveness that complete, that loving, that certain? Jesus wants you to believe there is and that it is available to you every day. He conveys this to you by teaching you to pray daily, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Here you might stumble. Even though our large catechism calls the "as" clause a comforting addition, it's regarded as an accusatory one by many. And it can be used that way. But that's not why the Lord put the clause there. Jesus does not direct you to think of that person who is hard for you to forgive, who did something wrong to you in childhood, in marriage, in love, in life. Jesus tells you to think of all those, note the plural, all those you do forgive. When praying, think not of who is difficult for you to forgive, but who is easy. How easy you let the sins of a child go. With joy you forgive a debt that is no big deal. How eager you forgive a trespasser who got turned around and ended up on your property. That's how easily, that's how joyfully, that's how eagerly God forgives all your sins for Jesus' sake. This petition is a daily prayer must, because we sin daily, because God has provided a remedy daily, and because without that remedy, we are lost daily. Our catechism bids us, when we wake up, to make the sign of the cross on ourselves and to say the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. This orients us for the rest of the day. I am a sinner. I am forgiven. You ever been in the mall trying to find out where you are? Ever go to a mall map that someone had scraped off the "You Are Here" logo? How difficult it was to orient yourself. You really couldn't go anywhere at all until you did. So each day this petition orients you in right relationship with God, with self, and with others. How so with others? Without this daily prayer, you are left with the need to constantly defend yourself. You're afraid to be a sinner, as opposed to the traveler in Fairyland who knew forgiveness so fully and joyfully, he was almost glad to be a sinner. When we don't daily go to the Lord for forgiveness, it's not that we're without sins. No, it's that we don't recognize them. And if we don't recognize them, we sure don't want anyone else to. So we circle the wagons. I'm not as bad as her. I do my best. No one can blame me. I can always use this as an excuse if I have to. But daily waking to the realization that I am a sinner forgiven for Jesus' sake, why should I be surprised if other people find me to be what I myself admit to be? My righteousness, my forgiveness, my salvation is not based on others not being able to find sin in me, but in Jesus forgiving me. Finally, apart from this daily prayer for forgiveness, we're left without an answer when the full magnitude of being a sinner comes home to us. If it doesn't happen in life, it will certainly happen at death. The weight of our sins, our debts, our trespasses will come home then as surely, as heavily, and as hopelessly as Jacob Marley's chains did at his death. This is what overwhelmed Judas in our text. When he saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. What? Judas had agreed to betray Jesus to the very men he knew wanted Jesus dead. He had agreed to do it for money. But like Peter was awakened to his guilt by a rooster, Judas was awakened to his guilt by Jesus being condemned to death. Something wakes everyone up. It may be at the moment of death, and if it's then all that is left to you is shrieking like Jacob Marley. But it usually happens by God's grace that we wake to our full guilt in life, often multiple times. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a daily wake-up call. It's a daily dealing with the sins, the debts, and the trespasses we can and can't see. It's a daily lancing of the infections of sin so that they can be forgiven and carried away from us so they don't fester into heavy chains. What a privilege to carry everything, especially our sins, to God in prayer. As Rosencrantz tells the troubled Hamlet, "You do surely bar the door upon your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend. Even more so when you deny your sins to your Savior. Amen.